Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Title of our message today, The Couple That Failed the Lord. The couple that failed the Lord. Shall we stand together? Genesis chapter 1. And the Bible says, and probably all of you could quote this, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you, right from the beginning of your word, tell us that you were the creator, that there was a divine design in what we see today. Lord, thank you for your love and your mercy, your grace. Thank you for the salvation that we can have through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for the Covenant Baptist Church and for my parents and those that were our co-members. We ask, Lord, that you just would bless them this day, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The couple that failed the Lord. Failed means to displease, to disappoint. How sad it would be to disappoint the Lord. And yet we find clearly in the book of Genesis and throughout the Word of God that God is our Creator. And as we just read in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. On day one, God declared, "Let there be light." And there was light. On day two, water appeared with a water canopy divided from the water on the earth, probably giving it like a greenhouse effect, which would have created a lot of plant life, which would have been able to sustain the dinosaurs. The evolutionists believe water is very important. But may I say here that water sustains life. Water did not produce life. On day three of creation week, land appeared, and it came with plant life. Grass, herbs, fruit trees. And God saw that it was very what? It was very good. On day four, the sun, moon, and stars were created. And God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And then this simple five-word thought, he made the stars also. Can you imagine billions of stars? And it just simply says, he made the stars also. And God saw that it was good. Interesting thought. God created plant life before he created the sun. On day five, we find in Genesis 1:20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So we have the whales. No, I don't believe that wolves went back into the water and from them evolved whales. Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous? I mean, come on. And there are the eagles and the octopuses and hummingbirds, etc. And God saw that it was good. On day six, the abundance of life appeared on the land from cattle. And can I say this? There were no steakhouses before the flood. They were all vegetarians. Well, we find that there were the cattle, there were the dinosaurs, and the wildlife we find in Africa. But he also created what? Man and woman, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created man and woman. Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It wasn't now just good, it was very good. And as we know, on day 7, God ended his work and he what? Rested. And it was very good. Wouldn't it be nice if that's the way it continued? But it did not. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now the serpent was more subtle. In other words, he was crafty, cunning, even elusive. The Bible tells us that we that are believers need to take on the whole armor of God to withstand the wiles of the devil. If one was to go to the Institute for Creation Research Museum in Dallas, Texas, you would walk through the Garden of Eden. And as you were walking through the garden, you would see the serpent standing on two legs. And as you walk by him, he laughs at you. It kind of catches you by surprise. You're not expecting it. But can I tell you this? Satan thinks we're all fools, and he believes that he can control all of us. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the great dragon, that old serpent which deceiveth the whole world. He spoke unto the woman whom Adam named Eve. First, he questions Eve. You know, when we stand for Christ, we may be questioned, and we better know the answers. Then he tempts Eve, and then he lies to Eve. Ye shall be as gods. You know, there are people in our society today that believe that we are indeed gods. We're not. We're either saved sinners or lost sinners. And we that know Jesus Christ as our Savior are saved by grace through our faith. Lawrence O. Richard writes, temptation, the devil's devious enticement of Eve reminds us that we cannot be forced to sin. Did you catch what I said there? You cannot be forced to sin. Do you remember someone saying, well, the devil made me do it? No, no. The devil didn't make you do it. The desire was put in your heart, maybe, by the devil. But we are vulnerable to temptations. And because he has pushed your buttons, and we all have buttons, and we flinch, he knows which one is your button to touch. Pornography, immorality, the love of material things, envy, jealousy, the desire for revenge. He pushes that button over and over and over again. Satan first misinterpreted God's word, and he is still doing that today. Can I tell you this, that there are literally hundreds, yea, thousands of religions in our world, all desiring to confuse us and to lead us astray. Then he directly denied God's word, finally questioning God's motives. Continuing from the quote, "Thus her confidence in God was undermined. Eve relied on what seemed pleasurable to her physical senses and what seemed desirable to her human understanding and sinned," unquote. Eve was the first girl that just wanted to have fun. And how many of us just want to have fun, no matter what the cost? Folks, we are in a spiritual battle today. There is a battle to turn our eyes off the Lord and to turn them on material things. Remember this, to overcome temptation, we need to know God's word accurately. Trust his judgment completely and obey in the full assurance that what God chooses for us is both right and best. Trust the word of God. Let's continue reading verse 6. "And the woman saw that the tree was pleasant for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Who did Adam blame? He blamed God, didn't he? You know, oftentimes we blame God. We get mad at God. You know, I've never heard someone get mad at Satan. It's always, I can't believe God did that. I can't believe God let that happen. I can't believe, and they get upset at God. Verse 13, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Adam and Eve were immediately disappointed following their betrayal of the Lord's will. Number of years ago, I was at some function. I don't remember what it was, but I remembered that the donuts looked really good. And I thought to myself, I'm going to have a donut and a glass of orange juice. I mean, it was breakfast time, and I had driven over to the meeting where I was at, and, And so I got a napkin in a cup and I filled the cup with orange juice and I took what looked like a really good donut. You know what I'm talking about. You know that donut. Chocolate covered, custard on the inside. Doesn't that sound good? Am I making you hungry? Maybe you'd rather have an apple fritter or some other type. And I remember biting into that donut. And it was the worst thing I'd ever put in my mouth. Have you ever had something like that? It looked so good. And it was so what? Disappointing. What do you do with it? You're sure everybody's looking at you. So you know what you do. You kind of hide it in the napkin and you move quietly over to the garbage can and you put it behind your back and you drop it into the garbage can hoping nobody sees you, right? And then you move quietly to the other side of the room and you drink your orange juice in peace. Adam and Eve were immediately disappointed following their betrayal of the Lord's will. Again, Richard writes, the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve, is on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So not only have they eaten of this fruit, they immediately know good and evil. Now, basic to them is both the capacity to make distinctions and to experience both what is good and evil. Do we know the difference between good and evil? We do. But many times we convince ourselves, well, it's okay. Well, everybody else is doing it. Let's hope that not everybody else is doing it. As long as Adam and Eve knew only good, they remained innocent, choosing and experiencing only what was right in God's sight. They did not even see opportunities to do wrong before they ate that fruit. The fall introduced the capacity to see evil choices as good and evil. They were disappointed. Sin will disappoint us. Do you know that? Even when we think we're getting away with something, God will let us know it was wrong. Even when we try to convince ourselves, well, it's what I want to do, we'll know. Have you ever been disappointed by something you had no control over? Let me give you a couple of examples. I remember watching the Detroit Pistons playing the Boston Celtics for the right to play the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA championship. And Isaiah Thomas, having the ball out of bounds, tossed it back in kind of lazily, and one of the Boston Celtics stole the ball, and the Pistons lost the game. I was so disappointed. Maybe you remember the game. The following year, they made it to the NBA championship against the Lakers. Donna and I and the boys were in Munising on vacation, and it was a Sunday, and we'd gone to church there in Munising, and maybe it was Marquette. I guess it was Marquette. And after church, we had had lunch, and we'd gone back to the motel, and we had done some swimming, and then I went up to watch the game, and the Pistons were playing well, and it looked like they might win. And as the game was coming to a close, the Lakers player that used to be known as Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, took a shot, and it missed. And you guys remember what happened? They called a foul on Bill Laimbeer. There were no reruns. I mean, they would show reruns on everything, even a guy drinking a glass of water. But there was no reruns that day. And the Lakers went on to win the championship. Disappointment. Disappointments can come in many ways. You miss an important phone call. I feel so good today. You say, well, why? Because my phone's at home. I forgot it. Did you see it there? Yeah, it's sitting there. But sometimes my phone does the strangest things. Does your phone do strange things? Like it turns the volume down so when the phone rings, I don't know it rang. Does any of your phones do that? It's just mine. It's possessed. You're at an estate sale and you ask if they have any Roseville pottery and they tell you, well, we did, but we just sold it. Disappointment. An animal gets into your garden and eats your produce. Isn't that a pain? Yes. The deer sometimes eat the flowers from around the building here. Drives my wife nuts. Yes. A mouse gets into the restaurant's kitchen and eats into about 6 pieces of bread and then gets out of that one and goes into the next loaf and goes in about 6 pieces and then gets into the next one and eats about 6 pieces. Drills a hole right into it. You say, why about 6 pieces? Because he's worried that something will catch him, so he goes out and comes in another one. Isn't that disappointing? Yeah, it is. How about you're in Alaska and you see an eagle and it's on a tree, and so you get your camera, and by the time you get the camera back up, he's flown away. Disappointments. I'm sure I could go on and on, as could you, about being disappointed about some outcome on a sporting event or missing out on an event because no one told you about it, or someone put coconut on their magic bars and you wish they hadn't. Disappointment. But how many of us have disappointed someone? We forgot an event. We forgot to fulfill a promise. Or trying to be funny, it came out sarcastic and embarrassed everybody there. To disappoint someone can be very sad. But when we disappoint our Creator God, that's really embarrassing. When we give the accuser ammunition to take to our Lord, and Lucifer is able to go and say, you died for him or her? And he looks at our Lord and Savior and says, you're really a loser because we have been a disappointment. Adam and Eve were so embarrassed that when the Lord called in the cool of the day, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. And yet the Bible tells us over and over again of women and men who were followers of the Lord Jehovah, of Jesus Christ, who disappointed them. Be it Noah or Abraham or Moses or David or Jonah, or Peter. And yet, the Lord is always willing to what? To forgive us. I was afraid. How stunning this reaction of Adam is. For he had walked and talked with God, and now he is suddenly afraid. He has known God's love in a deeply personal way. Yet now, aware of his guilt, Adam runs from God and tries to hide, just kind of like our children do when they have done something wrong. Adam's reaction helps us understand our own sense of alienation with God when we sin. But, don't you like that word, but? God's search for Adam and Eve reminds us that even when we sin, God does not abandon us. He continues to care. We need to remember this, and when we fall, we need to hurry to him rather than run away. Take your Bibles, and if you would, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. We know the story that leads to the writing of this psalm. David has been intimate with Bathsheba, another man's wife. And Nathan the prophet comes to him and tells him that he is wrong in what he has done. And in Psalm 51, verse 1, David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. David doesn't try to hide it now. When it happened, he tried to hide it. And when it was found out that his wife, or that, excuse me, Bathsheba was pregnant, he tried to still hide it, but God said, I won't let you hide it. I'll make it known. And David acknowledges his sin. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore. Adam and Eve wanted to be restored to the walk that they had had, and yet sin had come in and corrupted things. Every time an issue came along, Adam and Eve remembered eating of that fruit. When they saw Cain being upset that God had not accepted his sacrifice, they thought, this is our fault. And then when the body of Abel was found, there was the, once again, Lord, renew unto us the joy of thy love. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. In a moment, we are going to have an invitation. And I know this, that we often are too proud to actually come and to pray at the altar because we think someone is going to think, well, I wonder what they did. Well, number one, it's none of their business, right? And number two, hey, you're just as guilty as they are. But maybe you need to come and repent. Maybe you need to accept the Lord as your personal Savior today. You need to come and ask for forgiveness. You need to get your life right with God. Adam and Eve hid themselves, but God knew where they were all along. And we know that he slayed an animal or two and covered them, covered their nakedness. Folks, God knows, and no matter how hard you try to hide your sin, he knows what it is. Can I say this to you? There's nothing better than to get your heart right with the Lord. Ask them to forgive you. Ask him to help you get your life right. Shall we stand together? 379, almost persuaded. And I know this, that there are those who will right now know that there is something they should come and pray about. But they won't. But thank God for those who will get their life right. I'm not asking you to come and pray for a mate or a sibling or a child. I'm asking you, maybe today you need to come and pray about your relationship with the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, for your mercy, for second chances, for your patience. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, if we've disappointed you, may we today desire to get things right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.